as here we are with the final edition of our 2021 Whitfield Football Season Guide podcast preview. Of course, the entire guide is available free via PDF on our website that has come out, so enjoy the whole thing, which breaks down every class, every conference, every team, and gives an in-depth look. This podcast is meant to keep it short and simple to the point. And last but not least, the biggest one of them all, Class 6A in the Whitfield. So let's talk about it. So 8 teams, top 5 make the playoffs. And starting off, it's the 2-time defending champions, Central Catholic. And they're by far the heavy favorites. You know, it's really not hard to see why. Their formula is easy. Strong defense, run the ball, don't make mistakes, win games, win rings. You put it like that, it is pretty easy. And again, coming into 2021, it's one of the better versions of the chain gang. Unlike last year, the last 2 years when you've had Eddie Tillman to kind of be the bell cow, he's now graduated at Cornell. You're going to have a variety of these veterans who are good on defense, but also can do things with the ball in their hands, getting turned to carry the rock, make things happen in the power run game. But the big question with the Vikings, quarterback play, and can they pass the ball at all in 2021? As well as the other thing is, 8 Whitfield championships all since 2003, 4 of them coming since 2015, but Central Catholic has never three-peated. So again, not to knock them, because again, to be in that conversation to three-peat, you're doing elite type of stuff, but can they three-peat? That's a little something where if there's a glimmer of hope from anybody else in 6A in the Whitfield, maybe that's it. Maybe it's karma, who knows what it is. Or maybe it's just finally time the Vikings break through and get that third straight championship. We'll see. Now let's talk about them. I mean, the line play on both sides is where it all starts. You have Notre Dame commit Donovan Hennish leading the way. Joining him is Matt Alcino and Jackson Farrell. And they're solid, simply put. Behind them on defense is star sophomore linebacker Anthony Speca, one of the rare freshmen in Central Catholic history to start on defense as a freshman. He's now back as a sophomore, ready to keep rolling and being the centerpiece in defense. And one of the better secondaries in the entire Whitfield, you have J.D. Younger, Devin Barron, and Gannon Crothers. J.D. has been ranked as the top corner in the state by some places, and if not number one, he's definitely up there for the senior class. Well, Devin Barron's been overlooked the last year and a half, 2 years. He had a big-time hit in the Week 0 loss to Imhotep Charter. And then Gannon Crothers, I like this kid a lot. I mean, he's just a versatile player. He's good on coverage, but also when he puts the ball in his hands, receiving, running, returning, the kid can do it all. He doesn't get enough credit either. But again, the defense, they're loaded. It's really simple as that. We talked about the line, which sets a tone on the running offense. Who's going to carry the rock? JD's pegged as the number one option in the run game. But you're going to have a speedster, Anthony Pitts, that's going to, you know, come back after having carries as a junior last year. He's going to get some more looks this year. It'll be more of kind of a timeshare. And of course, at Central Catholic, you're going to have young guys that are going to jump in and touch the ball, have chances to maybe carve out a role. Also in the running game, you're going to have Crothers getting carries. I mean, there was one game, I believe, at Seneca Valley last year. He was the lead guy because of injury. He just took over. So, I mean, again, JD's going to be the leader, but you have Pitts and Crothers in their run game taking turns. And look for some young guys to get opportunity. But then it's the quarterback position. I mean, it's going to be an open job. Sophomores Peyton Wayner and Cole Sullivan are battling for it. Wayner has the edge, and he did start the Week 0 game. And look at him, honestly, he came on late in his freshman year last year. He also had that ugly leg injury in the championship against NA. He's rehabbed, he's come back strong, he's ready to roll. And, I mean, you're rooting for a kid like that, as well as just to see what he can do as a sophomore with a little bit of experience. You know, give him time, but I think, you know, given the experience, he could be something special and maybe the difference maker some point for Central in what's usually a run-heavy attack. But then, of course, they do try to pass it. You know, who's going to be his target to throw to? Of course, you're going to have Crothers able to, you know, line up wide and catch passes. But a speedster, Brandon Jackson, he's been a dynamic return man the last 2 years. You know, in a run-heavy offense, you know, he really doesn't have a chance to shine. Last year, they had a couple guys who were the receivers. But this year, he's one of the leading men. Expect for him to find breakout as a receiver and make some highlight plays on offense. And then for the Vikings, a very deep, experienced team. But they have some young guys that you got to keep an eye on. And it's sophomore Jaden Thrift. Yes, the next line of Thrift boys. I mean, he could be an offensive and defensive impact player. You have a freshman defensive back, Xavier Thomas. He spells with two X's. But again, this kid, already being pegged in the summertime as somebody that can maybe see legitimate time in the secondary this year, and somebody to definitely keep your eye on. He's the younger brother of Corey Thomas now at Yale. And then another one that's kind of been overlooked, but I think could be a big move, if not this year, then the next two. Sophomore Verdon Settles transferred in from Elizabeth Ford. Of course, Settles at EF. Did a little bit of everything for them. He's a good-sized kid. You know, maybe this year he may not do much, but the next 2 years he's definitely someone to watch for the Vikings. So then the question becomes, who could challenge him? Who's the real number one contender? And you look at two options. Obviously, the easy answer, North Allegheny. And then another answer that may not be surprising, but Mount Lebanon. You look at Mount Lebanon's year three under Bob Palko, and they've come a long way. I mean, the program was kind of just in teetering in 500 land. Palko took it over. He played them young 2 years ago. They took growing pains, made the semifinals, lost to the Vikings. Last year, they were experienced. They were kind of the sexy, trendy pick to be a dark horse. They, again, had a better year, lit it up, made the semis, lost to the Vikings. Now this year, 23 seniors who have those experiences, 8 starters back on both sides of the ball. It's literally do or die for them because, obviously, they're seniors, this is it. So can the Blue Devils build off of it? And, again, some of themselves at the top of 6A, show they can hang with Central Catholic in the regular season, and then come playoff time, take care of business to get there and get to the final and give themselves a chance to try to get a championship. And, of course, Bob Palko, year three, he's won the most Whippoorwill titles as any coach in Whippoorwill history. He knows how to win. Palko magic, it's a thing. Is it time with the senior leading group to finally get it done? And there's a big three leading the group, and it's Joey Daniels, 3-year starter quarterback, Eli Heinrich, who's going to Navy, and he's his top receiver, as well as a key in the secondary. Then you have senior Alex Texka, who, by the coaches and by us, was a first-team defensive back last year. We gave him first-team running back honors as well. He broke out all both ways last year. He's back now to carry on with that. And again, big three, you got your quarterback, top receiver, running back, what's not to like? As well as, and to add to that, you have another veteran, Brendan Anderson, who's back just to flank Heiderich out wide. So you got plenty of experience there. You have Jack Smith, who came in as a quarterback a couple years ago. He lost the job, but he ended up being kind of a do-it-all player, kind of like a Cam Kruse in the old West A teams about 3, 4, 5 years ago. You know, a guy where Jack Smith, he's got good size. He could play anywhere. He could take direct snaps, be like a wildcat quarterback. He lines up a tight end usually. He can go out wide. Maybe be a short yardage back. You know, and also defensively, he's a linebacker. So this guy can do it all, and he's one of those Palko guys that has size, that's athletic, that put a plug and play on. So that's another piece on both sides. And then the line, William Harvey, Cooper Austin, and Owen Halter, veterans who do it both ways, what's not to like. And then you have another veteran, Tommy Bonar, who's back to be a linebacker in the middle as well. And he could ship into the run game a little bit too. So the Blue Devils, they're deep, they're experienced, they got big-time talent. Can they put it together? And again, that's where I kind of mentioned Central Catholic struggling to three-peat. You know, year three for Palko, a 23 senior class, 8 for starters back on both sides of the ball. You know, who knows? Maybe Palko does it again. And a couple young guys for the Blue Devils, though. Sophomores are Beckham D and Connor Young to keep an eye on this year as well. Now let's go to North Allegheny, the usual 1A, 1B pick in Class 6A. Of course, the Tigers a year ago, they won the regular season meeting over the Vikings. They got the 1 seed. They went to the championship only to lose to Central Catholic and kind of, you know, have it handed to them. Can they bounce back this year? Of course, the Tigers, in the last 3 years, wins in 24 out of 25 regular season games, which means they beat Central twice. The only problem, though, is come playoff time, they haven't been able to finish it. And of course, the last time they won it all was 2012, and they capped a three-peat and won the second state title in that span. It's been a long time. And then, of course, you add to the fact they only have 4 starters back on both sides of the ball. They lost a lot of talent, a lot of senior leadership from last year's team. So this year, how does it translate? Well, it's a three-way battle coming into the year between senior Tanner Potts, junior Rourke Kennedy, and sophomore Logan Kushner. Potts saw a tiny bit of time last year, but it wasn't really anything to go off of, so it's kind of an open race. In week zero, Potts and Kushner both took the snaps and rolled with it. So I think, honestly, it's going to be both those guys kind of going back and forth for a little bit until one of them takes the reins. Of course, the sophomore has more upside to playing, so I would kind of go with him if I had to pick, if it's kind of dead even. The Tigers like to run the ball, pound the rock. J.R. Burden, he's the leading returning rusher. Expect this to be his year to rock and roll in doing so. Andrew Gavlik, a guy who scored once or twice in week zero, he's going to spell him, and he was kind of something exciting to watch, in my opinion. Colin Jenkins, who's standout in the secondary, he'll get carries too. And then for a team that doesn't pass a whole lot, and again, the question of quarterback, you're going to have two good, tall, big-sized options to throw to in Dwayne Taylor and Kyra Hutchinson. Both can get it done. Both should make it easier. So that could give them another piece of the offense and they haven't used a lot. And then another kid to watch is sophomore Kyron Boyd. Now, he's kind of been looked at as a guy coming into the season, so to keep an eye on as a playmaker on offense. And of course, you have Hutchinson and Taylor both doing things in the secondary as well. You have Burden that's going to be in the linebacker. And then the line play. Josh Rupert, Nick Frisco, good hands in the trenches. But then the star on the D-line, though, Jacob Porter. The kid's a freak. He's got good size. He's going to drive that front seven this year. And then Dom Lombardo is a veteran in the middle of defense, but a player to watch that's going to start and make a splash. Sophomore Tyree Alualu. Yes, his dad is the former 10th overall pick of the Jaguars, now at the Steelers for a couple years. So his son is ready to go, so I expect him to make an impact. So get in a lot of the similar script. Expect to have a really good, sound, strong defense. They're going to run the ball and have guys who make things happen. But the question is, can they get good enough quarterback play to, again, when it matters, be able to bring it home come November? And then let's go to the kind of, so we kind of established the top three in the conference. This year, five make the playoffs, which is key because whoever gets, top three spots, go into the semis, get a week off. Four plays five in what's basically a play-in game to the semifinals. And then the prize, you get to go to the one seed. And the other three just miss out. So it's a little more diverse. I like it this year. So 4-5, you look at Seneca Valley, Kane, and Mac is kind of being the two where you don't really see either one challenging for the top of the conference, but you see both of them being a decent bit better than the bottom three. It's just a matter of who gets four, who gets five, for what it's worth. So Seneca Valley, look at them. They have experience back, but they also lost some big-time guys. In Connor Lysacek, and Ethan West, and some other defenders. And they lost their top two quarterbacks from last year, too. So the Raiders did graduate a decent bit of the offense, as well as a lot was made with the Pirates and Fallout. Well, three of those coaches, led by Ryan LaMare, comes over to the Raiders to basically redraw the offense up, which is a lot of excitement. But what's back? Graham Hancock saw a tiny bit of action as a sophomore. He's a junior. He takes over the offense. Nolan Dorwick, who took over the role once Ethan West got hurt last year, he flourished as a rusher and pass catcher. He returns. He's the main guy to get the ball. And then Tyler Yurich is a speedster. He's one of the key linebackers, but he's also expected to fly around on offense and be a staple. He's just one of those guys you plug in place, get the ball to, use the speed. And then Lucas Lambert, Luke Lawson, both are pegged to be two-way standouts, as again, pass catchers from tight end receiver spots as well as linebackers on defense. And then Aiden Lysacek, he's a junior expected to take on a big role this year to try to, again, fill holes. And then another big question for the Raiders, two big questions. Owen Moran's the only starter in the trenches, and then it's a young defense. Those are going to be the things that maybe hold them back or maybe cause issue for them this year. Well, on the flip side, for Kane and Mac, they have a solid core of seniors that has them definitely thinking playoffs, and maybe they can pull an upset. As Ryan Angett's a three-year starter, he's been one of the better running backs in 6A. He's a senior; it's his time to shine and power the Big Mac offense. Deuce Lyons, he's been the quarterback on and off for the last 2 years. He now makes a full move to receiver, so they can get him the ball more. He's able to do that because you either have junior Ben Urso or sophomore Mike Evans to take over the quarterback position. And Mike Evans did start quarterback in week zero and also I played a little bit of receiver, so that's something that developed with the game and the books. But then the receiving core, too, with Lions, you have Chris Davis and Anthony Finney. Both are talented, both can make plays, and again, that's a lot for an offense you could spread around. But then the question is, for the line, kind of what do you have blocking up there? Julius Pruss and Sean Lesnock are the two that come back with experience to help and be in both ways. Matt Brooks transferred to Gayway, which will leave a bit of a hole, and then Connor McMahon graduated. We're looking at, and then Kevin McMahon is a talented junior. Again, another guy put on offense, plug and play him as a tight end, but he's going to be the leader in the front seven of the defense. And then again, the trio receivers will be in the secondary. So again, K-Mac has pieces around, just a matter of, do they click? Can they get a winning mentality and kind of a program that's been fluttering in 500 land, take advantage of their experience and the talent they have and elevate to the next level? And then we go to the bomb through the conference, Hemphill, Baldwin, and Norwin. Hemphill has a new coach, Mike Brown, and he's trying to change the culture ASAP. Dan Cirque, he's going to be the leader of the team in the trenches. He's a guy you don't want to mess with. Or then Geno Caesar is a junior. He expects to take over as the main ball carrier in offense. He was already a key linebacker for them. Ian Tufts had a nice sophomore year. He's now back as a leading receiver, and he's going to be in the secondary. And then junior Jake Phillips and sophomore Kieran Lipman have been battling for the QB job. Phillips did get the time in week zero, so, and he did play a bit last year, so expect him to be the guy, unless given a reason not to be. And then junior Tyson Gregory also is back in the secondary. But again, defense is a lot of inexperience. Offense, you know, you have a couple guys, but you're missing the line hurts. So again, Hemphill, this is more going to be more of a rebuilding year. But again, new coach, some strong veterans there. Hopefully you kind of get the culture beginning to change, and maybe in a year or two you can see them being a bit of a force. You look at Norwin, the Knights, similar situation. I mean, they still have Dave Borowski there, whatever his name is. I apologize if I mispronounced it, but you know, you have him there, which is fine, leading the way. The Knights, they have a young roster, so it's a case of maybe a newer, younger generation getting a taste of varsity, getting a culture boost, and maybe it can change the program a little bit as they're trying to go up. As Don Borka is a senior, he had a good junior year. He's going to be asked to carry the load this year, and even more so because you have a new quarterback and senior Luke Lewandowski. But then a bright spot for a young team, sophomore Jackson Pons. He was touted when he was in middle school. He went to Central Catholic last year. Now he's back in Norwin. He should be the top receiver as well as the top defensive back for them. And then, granted, the one thing for Norwin is they have veteran line play, which is going to help things a little bit. You have Jake Young leading that group. Six-thirds of defense. Hopes the Knights can be improved as well. Junior Noah Vogel, senior Aaron Schmuck, pair of two-way guys in the front seven on defense, but also guys could be playing tight end roles, trying to give more options to Lewandowski in the passing game to spread it out. And then last but not least, Baldwin. Looking at them, year two of Tim Sweeney. It's, of course, last year it was hard for him because it was the first year with Sweeney at coach. COVID obviously was a thing, but if for Baldwin it hit them hard, I think they missed three games because of it. And then, of course, they had to make the move from 5A to 6A as well, meaning different competition, different adjustments, etc. So that's all checked off, but now year two, you have the challenge of having a lot of holes left by graduation. So first one's at quarterback, sophomores Amara Sheriff and John Carzer, as well as freshman Jaden Dutteen are fighting for it. Sheriff got the start in week zero. Well, then the running back will be senior Cam Allen and sophomore Keith Minson. Minson, starting linebacker as a freshman, he's a guy to definitely watch going forward on the defense side of the ball. And then Evan Laval, Elijah Moore, not the New York Jets player, but Elijah Moore. The two of them all-around playmakers. They're going to be on offense as well in the secondary. So they're going to try to help the young quarterback, whoever, you know, be sheriff or somebody else, make plays. But then Nick Petrilli's the leading receiver. He's also a stalwart in the secondary. I'm sorry, he's actually one of the linebackers. My apologies. So he'll be there. So the linebacking core is deep for Baldwin, but the rest of the team is kind of, you know, question mark. As Aaron Marti or Blaze Richards are the guys up front. So Baldwin, you guys who have played and have seen action, also taking on bigger roles and some new faces. It's going to be a mix of just trying to balance all that and see where it goes. So looking at 6A, I mean, it's kind of cookie cutter. As of course, our preseason top five is going to be just 1 through 5 because it's only 8 teams in the class in total. So we have Central Catholic as 1, Mount Lebanon 2, North Allegheny 3, Kanamack 4, Seneca Valley 5, Hemphill 6, Baldwin 7, and Norwin 8. So those are our picks for Class 6A. We hope you guys enjoyed this breaking it down, as well as take time to look through and enjoy our season guide as the season's kicking off here. So hope you guys enjoyed all this, and we'll talk to you soon.